Wealth Within offers a range of investment and educational services to help you secure your financial future. Whether you're an aspiring trader or simply want to increase the strength of your portfolio, Wealth Within are dedicated to maximising your investment returns.
Speaking of someone who won't be ad-libbing today, she'll be fired up for the Christmas season. Janine from Wealth Within, how are you?
Good, yeah, I've got my red hat on and the Christmas earrings.
Oh, really?
If only you could see them.
Oh, I wish we could.
Oh, is there a photo going to go up on the website, Janine?
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh, what a damn shame.
What a pity.
Don't like photos at the best of times, but not when I'm dressed that way either.
Have you got the Mrs. Claus outfit on as well, or is it just the hat today?
No, just the hat.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
How about yourself?
Some whole visual thing there. No, look, we've just Beth come in dressed as an elf.
Oh, gorgeous.
And look, it's great. Just a skimpy little outfit she's got on.
Next Friday it'll be really interesting.
Have you got the shoes, Beth? The little pointy ones?
No, because I used to have them, Janine, you see, but people used to pick on me. So then I cleaned out my wardrobe and got rid of them.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to be lighthearted at this time of the year, but I suppose for people who have seen that sea of red, they probably are seeing red right now.
Well, look, all week, actually, it's been red. And yesterday afternoon, the banks started to move up a little bit, and I thought, oh, here we go. I think that there's probably some news out there that somebody knows that hasn't been announced yet. And then last night, the Americans came in to save the weekend, talked about some positive economic data that's come out. And just as they did that, then we had the IMF come out reminding us that the situation in Europe is worsening. So there was a bit of a mixed reaction in the end in the US. But look, at the moment, we're up around 0.5%. So that's good for the Australian market to finish the week up a little bit.
Yeah, let's hope it stays away till 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Well, especially given that investors have been sitting there watching their portfolio slide. I mean, for the last 8 days, we've had, you know, declines on the market. You recall last week we talked about the market got to a high of 4,391. Mm. Well, this week we got down to 4,175 points yesterday at the low.
Yeah, look, it's still very much in a holding pattern, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good point that you raise that, because we've been going sideways now for quite a few months. And when that happens, and look, I think it's actually a good thing for investors for it to happen at this time of year, because you know what that means? That means that you can go away into the festive season and enjoy it and not have to worry too much, because right now the battle between the bulls and the bears to decide whether we're going to go up or down is still happening. And when equilibrium's achieved, then eventually the market will break out either way, and it hasn't done it yet, and I don't think it's going to do it until the first quarter of next year.
Right.
Wow,
well,
really?
The question we were probably going to ask, what can we look forward to in the first quarter of next year?
Well, that's a good question. Look, moving into the first quarter, I think it's going to be choppy. So I don't think the sun's going to shine on us too much. We may get a couple of weeks up on the market. However, I just think that there's a lot more that's going to come out about Europe, and that, you know, we will see more volatility across the market. So investors need to be thinking about how they're going to protect their investments in case we do have a bit of a flush out into the first quarter of 2012. And I'm thinking it could be later in the quarter rather than earlier.
Yeah.
So that's something to be mindful of. However, look, for those of you who have got cash and you're sitting on the sidelines, which is one of the things that we talk to our investors about and clients that are with us, that we don't have people holding a full portfolio when there's quite a lot of risk on the market. We've got only a small investment at the moment. So when things do improve next year, then there'll be some good opportunities out there.
Fair enough. Yeah, we've spoken about the dollar, but what is your... you're saying it's critical. We're just under parity, aren't we?
Look, we are, and it's been hovering around that level. I think that, you know, I was expecting a low in September, October, and we did get a low in early October. However, the dollar's since come up there. It's been challenging that $1.07 level and then dropped away. And it was just actually, the rise was in time for a holiday that some friends of mine took, and they were sort of asking me, well, is it going to go up? Do we buy the currency? And, you know, in those situations, you're always better off to hedge your bets and at least, you know, lock something in before you go and get some cash before you go. Because looking at it now, if it falls through 96.60, then I believe that we're heading down into a bit more steeper low for the dollar. while it stays above that level, you know, people can be sort of thinking it's going to just hover around there for a time longer.
Yeah. And Janine, I've got about 99.57 at the moment against the US.
Which is fine. Look, while it's hovering around that level, that's all good and well. If it moves up another few cents through, say, $1.02, because there's a really strong resistance level around there, if it gets back through that nice and strongly, then it could be going up higher. However, right now, we're seeing a big rise in the US dollar. So usually when the US dollar's rising, there's often downward pressure on our dollar. And also, as you know, we've had an interest rate cut. And, you know, if the Australian dollar is, you know, the Australian dollar can often act as, can hold the economy back, because obviously as the dollar's rising, then our imports are cheaper and our exports are getting more expensive. And so people are not buying as much of our exports from us. So what we want to see going forward is for the dollar to sort of stay somewhere between around 90 and a dollar. That would be a nice sort of, holding pattern for our currency.
Yeah, I've heard some experts say 95 could well be the benchmark going into the new year.
Yeah, well, that fits right in that band, so, you know, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, what about gold? Gee, it was talk of the town for a while, wasn't it?
Yes, all that glitters is not gold at the moment. Look, gold has been dropping quite heavily, and as soon as it starts to show a bit of weakness, and it will, you know, then a lot of people start selling off, which is what we've seen lately, and that's forced the gold price down. I'm expecting somewhere around $1,400 to finish the decline. And look, we could see after, I think next week we'll see it slide further south, and then after that I'm expecting that we'll see a little bit of a rebound, and that will really tell us and test the gold price as to whether it is going to drop down to that 1400 level.
That's amazing, because it was around, what, 1750 and something at one stage, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it got right up near the 2000 mark at one point.
Yeah,
and
1900,
Yeah, and look, when it gets to those levels, like especially $2,000, $1,000, that they're major psychological levels. It's just like if you and I were going to buy something, buy a share for $10 and we could get it for $9.95, there's a level there at which investors stop buying for a while, and then prices come back, and then once there's enough momentum and people start thinking, well, it's looking more attractive now, we'll be buying back in again. And I think eventually that will happen again, even with gold.
And silver's made a bit of a boom too, hasn't it?
Silver's not one I follow as much as gold. However, look, yes, I have been seeing some positive moves on silver.
There's some talk about a mining company in WA who might start making silver bars, as like in gold bars. Are they going to go into silver and try and market that as a new commodity for 2012?
Good luck to them. You know, why not? In this climate where resources are becoming more and more scarce, you know, I don't think they can go wrong.
Yeah, interesting. Got to be innovative, haven't you?
You do.
Well, I hope they don't tell the government, because the government put a super tax on them. Now, Janine, I had a question. The government's happy to put a super tax on the mining companies because they're making billions of dollar profit.
Yes.
Why do they do it to the banks?
Well, look, I would agree with you. Look, this is one of the things that we'd written in one of our market wraps not so long ago, because, you know, the banks are doing quite well, and I think the questions about that start to rise when we see these huge profits coming out of the banks, and then they're quibbling over whether they're going to pass on interest rates to us. So definitely I think that something should be looked at there.
Yeah, I think Brett hit the right note there. And we were just talking a few minutes ago about Gail Kelly, the Westpac CEO, saying that they may not be able to pass on any future RBA rate decreases because the cost of money is too high. They're blaming Europe, because nice little scapegoat, isn't it?
It is. I think that there is some, you know, real truth to their argument, because in the first quarter of 2012, if the ratings agencies do lower their ratings on some of these overseas countries, which is what I'm expecting is likely to happen if the European Eurozone doesn't move towards a situation that the bondholders are looking for, because the bondholders want to see the central bank come forward and say, look, we're going to pay down some of this debt and cover your situation. Now, you know, if that occurs, then that'll take a bit of pressure off, but I don't know that they're going to come forward with that, because the Eurozone have held off for so long in doing something to that degree. So let's just see what happens in the first quarter, and that, I think, will be the telltale as to whether the cost of borrowing goes up for the banks. And And I think you've got to take what Gail Kelly is saying as a warning to, you know, don't be, if you're a home buyer out there and you're trying to bank on whether interest rates are going to fall to, and factoring that into your borrowing, I'd be very cautious about doing that because the banks may, even though the RBA may move to cut rates by another 0.5% moving forward, I think that the banks are going to hold off.
Yeah.
Janine, I was reading through the week that Europe are thinking that it could take years for them to solve their debt crisis and come out of it sort of on top. What do you think?
Well, I completely agree because it's not like, you know, if you think about yourself as an individual, if you got yourself into a situation where you had so much debt to pay back, you know, it would take you years to work to recover that. It's no different for any economy. I think that given the amount of countries that are in that situation and the amount of debt that we're talking about, I think it could be 5 years before things start to really move forward in the right direction for those countries again.
Just on a final note.
But I don't want to be all negative there because I should clarify that, in saying that as soon as the markets see that there is a turnaround point, because there will be a turnaround point, and as soon as they see something like that happen, which I think is going to occur either later next year or in 2013, then the markets factor in that way before it actually happens. So they say that the share market bottoms about a year before the economy bottoms.
Oh, well, that's true, yeah. And it's all cyclical, isn't it? It's been going on for decades.
That's right.
Just on a final note, because you've made a mention of in your notes, some companies at the moment are buying back. Quite a few. What are the main contenders here? People buying, the big companies, obviously buying back shares.
Yeah, look, you may have seen the off-market buyback that BHP did at the start of the year. Did you remember that one?
Yes.
Well, look, since then, there's been a hell of a lot of smaller companies, particularly that have been buying back their shares on market. Look, and JB Hi-Fi were involved in that at the start of the year. We've had Perpetual, who have done an on-market buyback, and they finished that in October. And we've also had Sims Metals, who have just started one in October. And this is a common trend at the moment. There are a lot of American companies doing the same thing because they've got all of this cash just sitting there. And the way that they look at it is, you know, if they have it in the bank, they're going to get X amount of return. They're not willing to take the risks at the moment to put too much capital into, you know, growing the business.
Mm.
They're not going to stop growing the business, a lot of them, but they, you know, because of the risks around in the global situation, they're not willing to take as great a risk. And by putting the money in the bank, they're not getting the return for shareholders. And the institutions will put pressure on these companies to be, you know, getting the returns.
Yeah.
And if that's not happening, then what's the alternative? Well, we can look at a capital management initiative, which means we can buy back shares and we can do that off market where we go to the shareholders, and or we can do it on market. And at the moment, because the prices have been falling, you know, there's no need for them to go through all the rigmarole of these off market buybacks when they can just buy the shares back at what they consider as a reasonable rate.
Yeah, that's right. And the people save on brokerage, et cetera, and they get a bit of cash for Christmas.
Correct.
Yeah, look, we'll go into that perhaps in more detail next time. We are going to be here next week, Janine, and I think we'll be here on the 30th as well, because we don't have live.
Talking Wealth was brought to you by Wealth Within. To learn how you too can maximise your investment returns, call 1300-SHARE-TRADE.